Financial Peace University still has a flip phone. Do you think it bothers him? Do you think it makes him look like he's some kind of, you know, deadbeat, or he's still a Plantagenet or something? You understand what I'm saying? Have you ever evaluated how much money you spend on you as a single person? And then the other scripture that says the married man must carry on as if he isn't. So that actually eliminates all of our excuses. And it's true. It's true. I have no time for single people who have no time. I'm not interested in your excuse. If you're born again, why aren't you in the church every single moment it's open? Why aren't you knocking on the pastor's door saying, can I cut your grass? Why aren't you going to the pastor's wife and saying, I'm going to the store. Can I pick things up for you? Can I help, you know, clean your house? A single person. Listen, let me give you one of the greatest scriptures, in my opinion, in the Bible when it comes to provision. In all labor, there is profit. In all labor, there is profit. I don't care what you're doing. If you're doing it for God, God will pay you. But not on Friday. So don't be hanging there with your hand out on Friday, right? He doesn't do that. But, you know, when it comes to this subject of God's provision, I have a PhD. That's my favorite subject. You may be seated because we want to... But I just wanted to share this one verse before I hand over to Brother Derek. We got four. Our four brothers are going to come forth this morning and speak about missions from their heart, their viewpoint, what they've experienced or what they're expecting, whatever, putting on their heart. But we open, I mentioned about the blood of Jesus. Now, the number one problem in the world. Now, I've been to 82 countries. Am I an expert? Do we all know an expert? An ex is a has-been and a spurt is a squirt under pressure. But anyway. But after traveling as much as I have, I spoke to a young man last night. I said, let me tell you something. I said, where'd you live? He said, Catskill. That's two towns up. I said, so how did you get here tonight? And he was about to tell me, well, I drove. I said, you didn't get here by car. I'll tell you how you got here. You made a decision and didn't change your mind. Now, I've been saying that for years, and some people believe me. How did I get to China? I made a decision and didn't change my mind. How did I take five children to Australia? I made a decision and didn't change my mind. Can you tell me there's a difference between driving from Catskill and going to China? Only in the mind of man. Do you think there's a difference in the mind of God? Can you understand what I'm saying? If you make a decision and don't change your mind. Now, if you change your mind, a double-minded man, you know, don't expect anything from the Lord. Because a double-minded man is unstable in all of their ways. So these, I oversimplify a lot of things. And this, at least it gets a person started in a direction of saying that, you know, you got to remember, I traveled through a continent with no money, no connections, no phone numbers, no addresses. So I'm not interested in your excuses. When my wife and I came to America in 1974, 78, and hitchhiked 30,000 kilometers for the Canadians, 18,500 miles for the rest of us. I'm saying that I'm not interested in you telling me what you can't do. We were on our way back from Australia and stopped to Pastor Chris Corinzi's church down in Binghamton, which is just 130 miles away. And one of his brothers, he's got a bunch. I said, hey, how come we haven't seen much of you lately? He said, oh, you know, it's like 2 hours up to your place and we got two babies now. I said, really? I'd just driven back from Australia. Because we had to drive to California to get the best price for the 7 air tickets. We drove from New York to California, flew to Australia, drove, I'm not sure how many miles, I think 12,000 miles in Australia. We drove across the Nullarbor Plain, which is the loneliest place in the world. It's called Nullarbor. It means treeless. Nothing there grows higher than this. And the only thing that you ever see there are dead kangaroos on the road. With five children under 10. In a van, there was a delivery van that wouldn't go over 60 miles an hour. And had an oil leak that was so bad that the back of the van was covered black in oil. Now, you're traveling right across Australia where there's nothing. If you break down, you've really broken down. In summer, you know how hot it gets in Australia in the summer? Not that trip. God kept the temperatures down below 80 in an Australian summer. It's just, this is the way God can do things. So I'm on my way back, this guy with his two babies who couldn't drive 2 hours, I looked him in the eye and said, Bob, I just drove 20,000 miles with my five kids under 10. What was your excuse again? Sorry, what were you saying? I didn't hear your first statement. And I'm saying this because one of my most important things in my life is to eliminate people's excuses. No, I haven't been shot at. You know, Dr. Leon last night said he didn't want to travel with Paul. I thought, gee, I don't want to travel with you. I've never had a bum landing. I've never flown through hurricanes. I thought, gee, mate, all right, I'll meet you there. And hallelujah. I thought, praise God. Maybe it's because I travel with all my kids. God's kinder to me or something. I don't know what it is. But, you know, and my mother came to Australia as well. She lived in England, you know, and so she flew over. And while we were there, the lady who lent us the van heard my mother say, oh, I really would love to go to New Zealand. So this lady said, oh, my sister lives in New Zealand. And she'll host you. My mom said, really? Okay. Boom. Flight gone. New Zealand on her own. But she was still young then. She was only 75. So can you understand where I'm coming from? I don't have time for people's excuses. I haven't yet heard an excuse that I accept when it comes to the nations. Not in 25 years. Haven't heard one that I accept. So, I got lots more stories. So, I'm going to just, this one verse. Oh, yeah, number one problem in the world. That's what I was going with, having visited 82 countries. Number one problem in the world is people do not know the word. You can talk about tradition. You can talk about demons. You can talk about alcoholism. You can talk about religion. You can talk about divorce. You can talk about abortion. You can talk about no prayer in school. I'm sorry, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Number one problem in the world, people don't know the word. And I'm not talking about scriptures. Please differentiate between scriptures and the word. Scriptures don't save you. Now, that's a controversial statement. And I said this, right, there was a tour guide in Israel that knew 2,400 scriptures, could quote 2,400 scriptures, but he wasn't saved because he didn't know the word. The word is a person. So until you know the word, you're not going to understand. See, it helps sometimes when we talk this way to jolt a few of our sort of thought patterns. So is you must know the word. And I have to say this, I am particularly a New Testament guy. I mean, I love the New Covenant. You can normally tell when you ask people what their favorite book in the Bible is, where they're coming from. They often say, oh, I love the Psalms. I thought, oh, that's nice. I love Luke 24 that says that Jesus fulfilled the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. A lot of people don't even know that verse. He didn't just fulfill the law and the prophets, he fulfilled the Psalms. So everybody that's still singing, create in me a clean heart, oh, you know that Psalm 51? He's done that. He's done that. He took out your heart of stone, put it in the heart of flesh, he gave you a new spirit. Read Ezekiel 36 and find out what his plan was and find out why he did it. He said, I'm doing it for my name's sake. So when you understand these things, you don't get a confused covenant in your head. You begin to live by the word, not by scriptures. I know that sounds a little semantic, but it isn't. And people, you know, I say the same thing to everybody. You want it, if you If you feel down, if you feel stuck, it's easy. Read Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and the Gospel of John. And then after that, go to Ephesians, and then Philippians, and then Colossians, and the Gospel of John. And after that, guess what? Do it again. Hallelujah. Because too many people are stuck in Job. They're stuck in, my name ain't Job. And my name is not Jonah. And my name is not, What was the guy? Gideon. That's not my name. And you've got to understand, New Testament truth is a promise of God that is yes and amen. My name is definitely not Samson, so my daughter-in-law cuts my hair because it doesn't help my strength. You get my point? You need to know the word. The second biggest problem on the planet that I found, with all the prayer lines I've been through and everything, and multitude of churches, denominations, and ethnic groups, is being unequally yoked. Second biggest problem I found on the planet is being unequally yoked. Too many people, and you know, I've said this to some of you since you've been here. A lot of young men, you are lousy judges of horse flesh, mate, I tell you. And I'm not sure the ladies are much better. People suddenly decide to get married without speaking to their leadership about it or speak, and there's one thing I'm going to have to insist on. Stop asking rookies for advice. If you're having your first baby, don't talk to someone who's having their first baby. You're going on your first mission trip, don't talk to someone who's going on their first mission trip. You're going to have your first baby, talk to Elaine, talk to Wendy, talk to Tom Segretti's mother. He's one of 11. Can you hear what I'm saying? Rookie advice is, and I've got lots of scriptures for it, Solomon's son for a start, right? The elder said, listen, man, this is what you need to do. What did he do? He went and spoke to the guys he graduated high school from, and he took their advice, split Israel, and it's never been put together. Rookie advice. Don't do it. Anyway, but the other biggest problem I found, the third thing, why people are not partaking in the mission field, is right here in Hebrews, and then I'm handing over to Derek. Hebrews 9:11. Wow, that sounds alarming. Sorry, I'm English. Thanks, Sandra. Do you, Sharon, do you have any English blood in you? No? Yeah, that's what I thought, see? Just works that way. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come. Remember, he is the apostle and the high priest of your confession. So as soon as you say, oh, I can't afford to go on a mission trip, you can't, because Jesus takes your words to the Father and you close the door. He's the apostle of your confession. He's the high priest of your confession. As soon as you say you can't do it, you can't. By your words you will be justified. By your words you will be condemned. The power of death and life is in your tongue. Trust me. You need to watch what you say. Hallelujah. Christ came as a high priest of good things to come with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of bulls and goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once. Somebody say once. Everybody say once. That's a beautiful thing. Once. For all. Once. For all. Having obtained eternal redemption. For if the bloods of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more? I love those three words. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve a living God? Now, most people I know who are not actually entangled, no, apprehended by the Great Commission. They either don't know the word, they're unequally yoked, or they have a conscience problem. Cleanse your conscience from dead works. What's the root of dead works? You're still stuck in the wrong covenant for a start. You still think it's Jesus plus something. When it's Jesus plus nothing, giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints in light, who's delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. You know, a lot of people don't understand translation. I was translated by a 747 from England to America. English, born and raised. 155 Tamford Avenue in London, Knees in London, Northwest 27SR. That's the address. So I was raised for 24 years. Right? But now if a British bobby, everybody knows what a British bobby looks like, right? Are they them stupid hats? They're actually not stupid, because try hitting them over the head with something. That's the point of them. Not just to make you look taller, which was part of it, is you can hit those helmets, and trust me, the just going to glance off. Anyway, it's true. So if a British bobby walked in right now and said to me, "Evening all, are you Vaughan Gerald from 155 Tamford Avenue, Knees in London, Northwest 27SR? So I am. Well, I have a warrant for you. Follow me. I'll say, go jump in the lake. You see, because he is the law from another land. And there's no jurisdiction here. And that's what happens when you get confused covenants. When you have a confused covenant, your conscience can walk in the door and arrest you. And if you're dumb enough to follow him to Kennedy Airport and he flies you back to Heathrow, London, and as soon as you land, he can cuff you, because now he's got jurisdiction. This is why the scripture talks about the children of Israel. That it says that if you bring to mind the country from whence you came, you'll have opportunity to go back there. This is why you must live the Philippians rule, which is, beloved, I've not yet apprehended what I've been apprehended for. But there's one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching out to that is before. You see, the problem with what's too many people is a conscience problem. And their conscience is plaguing them from what they did wrong this morning, let alone 5 or 10 or 15 years ago. And they don't realize that God is faithful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this is why the word of righteousness, the word of grace, is so vital. If you don't know it, you're not going to be serving God. You're going to still be working your way out of your dead works mentality. You're going to think it's Jesus plus nothing. So I'm going to tell you a story because I like this story. No other reason. I like it. If you don't want to listen, I don't mind. So at the wedding, my daughter's wedding, some of you might have met Uncle Vito. Did they? There are not many members of our church here. Uncle Vito has a restaurant, a bed and breakfast inn up here in Wyndham, New York. It's actually was voted the best bed and breakfast inn in America. How's that for an excellent spirit? Uncle Vito. Hey, Brother Vaughan. When you pray, Brother Vaughan, are you hungry? What else do you think I came here for? Anyway, so he is one of the best cooks. He was the best cook probably in the Catskills. And there's a heck of a lot of Italian restaurants around there. And so when Uncle Vito prepares you a dinner, he puts it in front of you. With all the spices and the flavor and just right. He knows. He's been doing it for decades. He's in his 70s. He's a master chef. And when he puts the dinner in front of you, you just, the aroma is perfect. You don't suddenly say, "Hey, Vito, where's the ketchup?" Because he will slap you, silly, and throw you out. But you know how many Christians have been served the perfect aroma of Jesus Christ and then ask for ketchup? Oh, can I put a little bit of my effort on your formula? Can I put a little bit of my effort on your recipe, Lord? Can I put a little bit of my dead works to make your perfection better? That's why people are not serving God. You're still looking for the catch-up. You're still looking for the giving thanks to the Father who qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us out of the law of England into somewhere where the law can't touch me. I'm under the grace of God because the blood of Jesus was shed once for all, not just for my salvation and my healing, but also so I can keep a clean conscience. Are we good? You need to be telling other people this. Derek.
Amen. I was given the privilege this morning to be able to speak to you all about some of the missions I've done over in Africa and just kind of how it all came about for me. Whenever I'm asked about this, I always, a smile just comes on my face right away because I know that the Lord is going to use my testimony to motivate other young people to get out into the mission field. And the reason is because I came about as disqualified as you could come. I couldn't even get into the special ops in the military because I was colorblind. I was seeking adventure somewhere, and the Lord gave me a vision. As Leon said last night, the Lord gave me a vision showing me that I was going to be a missionary to the nations, if I might use the word missionary. I preach against using the word, but I still use it. I don't understand. But, 18, still in high school, the Lord gave me a vision. In the vision, I'm standing there in worship. Little do I know that Leon's speaking today. I don't even know the guy yet. And the Lord comes up in the vision. I'm standing there, and it was almost like an out-of-body vision of myself. And the Lord came up and put his arm around me. And it's like everything just faded, and I saw the world, and he showed me, you're going to go to the nations. And he's just like, go. And I'm like, okay, where? And that was it. There was no follow-up. It was just go. And so that's what launched me into missions. I talked with Leon afterwards, and all of a sudden I heard a guy come with a different tone saying, no, you can go. I'll equip you. I'll give you what you need. No, you don't need to go to Bible school for 4 years. You're ready now. You have a testimony. I love the scripture out of Revelations that said they will overcome by the blood of the Lamb, which has already been sacrificed, and the word of their testimony. So I'm going to share a few testimonies this morning, just showing the simplicity of it. I went straight out of high school. I did some mission work in the Amazon in Brazil. Loved it. It was my first love. I said, I'm not going to go anywhere else. I'm just going to the Amazon. Leon said, no, you need to go to Africa. And I was like, okay, well, that's on my bucket list, too. I'll go over and check it out, and then I'll go back to the Amazon. And went over to Africa, started working with Phil, got trained up in overland missions, and basically this was the start of my life. I'd gone to Brazil, but I hadn't really seen missions. I hadn't walked in the power of God. I wasn't even speaking in tongues and filled with the Holy Spirit at that point. I thank God for that season of my life because I built so many great relationships that are still existing today, open doors that I have to go back and preach the gospel. But over in Zambia is where I learned to be a missionary. I was unequipped. God called me, so I went off the scriptures that said, he who he calls, he also equips. And so I had somebody speaking faith into me. I had a vision from the Lord, and off I went. I raised some money first, worked in Texas for some disaster relief, and then some other people supported me as well, and I was gone. That was it. Went over to Zambia, stayed for a year, had the time of my life. I was still young. I'm still learning. I'm still learning today. I still can't get up and preach like Leon, and I don't want to preach like Leon. I want to preach what God puts in my heart. But I went out not even knowing anything, straight out of AMT, Phil's training class, went into the villages, and I got started on the wrong foot. I basically went out. I planned my own meetings. I planned what I was going to say, and I just wasn't in tune with the Holy Spirit when I went out and ministered. And once again, the Lord made provision for that time. It wasn't wasted. I built great relationships. 3 months later, I'm sitting at a fire, and the Lord just speaks into me, like, all right, are you tired of doing things your way? You want to try my way? I was like, well, that makes sense. And so I started listening to the Lord, and he would tell me to go places where I was like, no, that one's out there. Like, why don't I just hit these along the way? And he'd tell me, no, go. And I would hear, like, oh, there's a bunch of drunkenness out here. And so it's like, okay, I'm preparing this message. Okay, this is what I'm going to speak. And the Lord's like, no, I want you to speak on this. And it just blew my mind at the response to the message. And it's just the simple things like that. My experience in the mission field, I didn't get trained up in a Bible school. I can't quote the books of the Bible in order. I can find them pretty quickly, and I know the neighborhood of a lot of scriptures. Even though I can't quote them word for word, I know the heart of the scriptures, and that's something that the Lord's given me a hunger for and building in me as my relationship with him grows. It's like Vaughn says, knowing the word, not just the scripture. And through that, my relationship with him built. And just, I mean, testimony after testimony after testimony. I'm just going to share a few this morning. Some of my favorite ones. I was out fishing with some of the locals. There's not a whole lot of fishing you do in Africa. There's crocodiles and hippos and everything everywhere. So you got to be careful what fishing hole you go to. But I hung with the locals. There's a time of the year where it gets so dry, so hot, the river goes down, and there's these beds of catfish. And they just got these little swimming holes. And so it's like straight out of National Geographic. Have any of you guys seen Human Planet? It's amazing. I keep it on my iPad just for when I'm out doing missions to show the people of other parts of the world. Human Planet is a National Geographic show or something like that. But it shows different cultures across the world and different native tribes and how they live. And one of the episodes shows the fishing that I was doing. The women use these cone-shaped baskets, and the men use spears, and they catch these catfish. And the best part about it is I love fishing, and these guys are like swarming. There's thousands of them along the shore, and they're away from their homes, so they have no responsibilities. All they're doing is fishing, eating, and hanging out by the fire. And I was like, Lord, why didn't you tell me about this 2 years ago? This is me right here. Went out there, lived with them for the entirety of the fishing season, caught fish with them, and just the witness to them of being able to jump in their culture, jump in their lifestyle, get in dirty water and catch catfish with your hands. The relationships aspect of it opened up for the gospel. And before I knew it, I mean, a week later, I got an interpreter. They don't speak English. And my interpreter was from a village around the base, good friend of mine. And before I knew it, a week later, I had ended up really sick. I don't know if it was just from accidentally swallowing some water, I'm guessing. But was laying there, and I was like, Beaton, I can't go out to the campfires tonight. I'm feeling too sick. You're going to have to go without me. So he went out. I went to sleep. I got woke up an hour later, and what it was 17 women. I woke up, I counted, and I was like, what are all these women doing here? I was looking for Beaton, and he was nowhere around. One woman spoke a little bit of broken English, and she's like, can we pray for you? And I was like, well, yeah, I could definitely use that right now. They prayed for me. I went back to sleep. I woke up the next morning, and I was completely healed. There was nothing wrong with me. So I woke up. I look over, and Beaton's waking up, and I was like, hey, thanks for sending them over to pray for me last night, bro. I feel so much better. And he's like, what are you talking about? What? I didn't send anybody over. And what had happened is these women, just from the teachings of a week, spending a few days engaging in the culture and teaching the word, they grasped onto what the gospel was and saw it for themselves. And these ladies just came over on their own accord, prayed for me, power of God set me free from whatever sickness I was facing, and the next day I was out there fishing again. So I was happy too. But just the aspect, for me, the simplicity of going out, being in relationship with the people, speaking the true gospel, which is one of empowerment. It's not just one of salvation, but it's the fact that we're saved by grace, and that grace empowers us to live the life that Jesus died for us to live. And the fact that Scripture says that his divine nature has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. They grasped on to these couple of scriptures that we were speaking into their hearts, and they lived it for themselves. And I got the pleasure of working in one area. I mean, by one area, I'm talking about like 10,000 square kilometers. Ran around on a bicycle, village to village, got familiar and relational with these people. And I worked with Jake Schwartfeger. Vaughn mentioned him the other day. Jake and Jesse, they have three little kids. They have a diabetic, partially asthmatic daughter that's 2.5, 3 years old. And they live in Africa full time. With all those complications, it doesn't slow them down. The Lord provides everything that we need. There's no excuse. I love Vaughn just eliminating everybody's excuses. But I worked with him in this area, and the 3 years that we worked in the area, you could see the culture change. It was. We had pastors we were discipling. We had villages that we were evangelizing just continuously. And you could see the culture change in the area. And over a process of 3 years, there was, I mean, just 75% decrease in the amount of crime in the areas. The chief, like, we didn't ever give anything to the chief. I think Jake may have gave him a hat one time or something. It wasn't the traditional white guy that comes in and pays the homage to be able to even be in the land. We came in saying we want to share the gospel, and the chief grasped onto that and accepted us for that. 3 years later, the chief's just in amazement at what's happened in the land. He has this ceremony. Other chiefs are coming from around the area, and they're saying, hey, your economy is getting better. Your people are happier. There's joy in your community. There's less crime. You're dealing with a lot less problems. And he's saying, yeah, it's because the gospel has made it into my area. And we have open doors all across Zambia for it. His Overland Missions is working all across Zambia. And there's no resistance to the gospel in these villages, because they're seeing that it's actually the truth of life. It's what brings the fullness of life that Christ paid for us. I got in a motorcycle accident. I have a dirt bike over there. It's a Kawasaki 450. It was a blast. It was a lot better than riding the bicycle around like I did for the first year and a half. I could get out to a place 10 times as quick, and then when I got there, I wasn't fully exhausted. So I was able to preach instead of have to get in the hammock and sit there for an hour and, like, catch my breath. But I got in a motorcycle accident. It was a familiar trail. It was the one time I didn't wear a helmet. Crashed, got up, rode the bike kind of sideways. The steering wheel was crooked. Rode it to the chief's palace where my friends were ministering. There was a ceremony about to go on. Was there in the village. Everybody saw me, like, barely able to walk in. I couldn't even lay down because just the swelling and stuff going on inside my body. I could barely breathe. They had to lay me down. They prayed for me. 2 hours later, I got up, and I was able to walk around and play soccer, just engage with the villagers. And it was just a miraculous healing right there. And the best part about this story is that the chief actually walked up to me afterwards, and he's like, Derek, I was so afraid. I thought you were going to go to the other side. It's like, we can't lose any of the missionaries that come here because we still need you. The gospel is changing our area. We want you to stay here and minister in this area. And just the acceptance and favor we had across the land was amazing. Another quick story. There was a demonically possessed guy at the palace. He was so out of control, they actually had him chained up. And it wasn't like a little dog leash. It was like a chain that had links this big around. Like, the guy had to, like, lift his hands to be able to lift it up even. And he was chained to a tree. I mean, just like a dog on a leash. This was right near the chief's palace. And what was cool about this story is we prayed for him. There wasn't deliverance or anything. We had it was our AMT group, the missions training group from Overland. We prayed for him. Nothing seemed to happen. We went about the conference, spoke into some pastors and different people in the area, senior headmen who are in charge of like five villages apiece. A month later, we received the testimony that the guy was freed, like, completely. He had gone home, he was sane. And what we learned was, it wasn't just the prayers of us, but it was the chief himself. He addressed it. He dismissed the guy, the father, who was holding the guy in bondage through witchcraft. He dismissed him, kicked him out of his village because he was so involved in witchcraft, and realized that, hey, the gospel is here. We don't need this junk anymore. This isn't the stuff that's freeing our people, but the gospel is. And the chief himself took a stand against the witchcraft and stuff going in this area, and basically restricted it, saying it wasn't allowed, and sent them out of the chiefdom, and that's when this guy ended up free. Praise God. So my testimony is one of simplicity. I got the joy of riding around on a bicycle with an interpreter, going village to village, building relationships, engaging in the daily lifestyle, showing people that, hey, we're here to actually love you. Because some people out there, they've seen whites before, but the whites are coming just to take all the resources out of the country and make a quick buck. But to see a white that'll come in and move a cattle pen, just some sticks with cow dung all over them, and be able to get in, work in their daily lives, go fishing with them, sit down and eat the same foods without complaining and even asking for seconds, enjoying their culture, that right there opened up the door of the gospel. It wasn't by any special skill that I had. It wasn't anything I did other than having the willingness to be sent by the Lord from village to village, build the relationship with the people, and share the gospel. I'm not an encyclopedia of scripture. I'm a person with a testimony of a real living relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's all it takes. That's the only thing you need when you're out there, and God will provide everything else. We talk about raising support and being supplied to go over there. This is great, and it's important because it keeps your mind off of finances. You don't worry about tomorrow. You don't worry about these things. But the truth is when you're out there, you don't have a care in the world. You really do not care about anything because you're seeing the power of God move on person after person after person, and you're seeing their lives changed for an eternity. And you're realizing that, hey, this is the same thing that Paul got to do. When we read the book of Acts, it's like it's no longer a story. This is the life that we are meant to live. And we get to go out and do it on a daily basis. And it's amazing coming back to the States and seeing people chasing after the American dream and wondering, what are you seeing? What good is going to come of this? What life are you living right now that is bringing you joy compared to the alternative of following Jesus Christ and the will that he has for your life? I want to finish up with a quote from David Livingstone. This quote, it explains my life perfectly. It says, "Away with such a word, such a view, and such a thought is emphatically no sacrifice." Speaking about being over in Africa in the mission field. So say rather it is a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, or danger, now and then, it happens. Motorcycle crashes, malaria, these things happen, and you're like, okay, Lord, you're not taking me yet. I know that, so just heal me now so I don't have to suffer through this. Suffering or danger now and then with the foregoing of the common conveniences and charities of this life. There's no Starbucks, but your tastes change. You learn to desire the food that's there. I desire Kapenta right now. I look forward to, in 2 weeks, I'm going back to Africa, and I'm going to eat these little dried minnows that had flies laying their eggs on them and everything that they just take and cook in a bunch of oil and mix it with their shima. It's like I acquired a taste for that. And I desire to sit down with a group of Africans and be able to share in that meal. It's touched my heart so much just being here with Joseph. Joseph's not here right now, but he stays over there next to Vaughn. To wake up in the morning and have an African make tea and be able to drink the tea with him. It's just become such a part of me because the Lord has changed my heart for the nations. I talked with Leon earlier this morning just on the fact that I went to Brazil. I went to the Amazon. And I never wanted to go anywhere else. I was like, this is the best place in the world. I don't care what you tell me. I've gone. I've experienced it. It's the best place in the world. Leon convinced me to go to Africa. And so I made it to Africa, and I was like, okay, now I'm definitely done. I'm not. It's like, I love the Amazon. I've grown such a great love for Africa. I don't have time to go anywhere else. It's kind of like he was saying, he could invest his whole life in Africa and not finish. Like, there's just so much work to be done, so many places to be in those areas. And then the vision for the Canada trip came up, and the Lord touched my heart with it. And now I didn't think I could get so excited about a place, but I am like stoked about going up here to Canada, working with some of the First Nations people of Canada, people who have experienced some religious Christianity but need the true gospel. But I think I need to finish this quote. It says, the conveniences and charities of this life, there's no Starbucks, there's no Panera or anything like that. They may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and sink. There's times where I miss my family. But let this only be for a moment. Those thoughts, they're not bad, but compare them to what the reality of the life that you're living when you're out there and realize that, hey, none of that matters. I got eternity with all my brothers back home. I got eternity with all my sisters and mothers and fathers and the Lord back home. It says, all these are nothing when compared with the glory which shall hereafter be revealed in and for us. I never made a sacrifice. Of this we ought not to talk when we remember the great sacrifice which he made who left his Father's throne on high to give himself for us. How dare any of us go out saying, yeah, I'm gonna give up my life in America. I'm sacrificing it all. I'm going to go out there and hang out with the Africans and share the gospel. And There it truly is no sacrifice. It truly is the riches of heaven here on earth to go out and spend time with people who are not tied up in the busyness of life, but care about relationship, care about hospitality and seeing the value in people's life, and be able to give them a hope that goes beyond understanding, that they can live beyond their means, that they can live the full life that Christ gave his life for them to live. So to be able to say that it's a sacrifice to go over to Zambia, you need to take those words out of your mouth right now. You're sacrificing to go to India. It's not true. you give your resources and to buy a car here to be able to travel more conveniently, whatever it may be, to give your resources to see the gospel being driven across the earth is no sacrifice at all. No sacrifice at all compared to the glory and the sacrifice that Christ already gave and the life that he's now allowing us to live. It's not a sacrifice going out and sharing the gospel, but it's a privilege. It is a privilege to be able to go out and wear the same two outfits for a month long, drive on a bicycle from village to village, walk if needed because the paths aren't good, and be able to share the gospel with people and see their eternity changed. It's a privilege. It's no excuses. There's nothing that can hold you back. Children don't hold you back. They slow you down a little bit. That's why I don't have any yet. I've seen that they do slow down a little bit, but they don't hold you back. There's no excuse to not going out and reaching the nations and seeing that this is the Macedonian call, that we need to go out, that Paul gave us the example. Jesus commissioned us to go out and be able to preach to the nations, and that's what's going to bring you the most joy in your life, and I can guarantee that. Amen.
Praise God. When we arrived in South Africa, we left Israel November 1982. We went to England for a month and managed to beg, borrow, and steal one-way tickets to South Africa. We arrived in South Africa with $35, no more air tickets, and only three phone numbers. So Alice was nearly two. Paul, I think, when we got there, was 5 months old. And then we discovered Wendy was pregnant. So now we have two babies and a pregnant wife and no money, no more tickets. And so the Bible says a man's gift makes room for him. You see, until you begin to get in these situations, you have no idea how to pray. Prayer's just theology until you're in a situation when you need to learn how to pray. So God began to open doors, etc., etc. We were in South Africa for 4 or 5 months. Then we flew to Sri Lanka. Then we went to Thailand. Then we went to Hong Kong. And from Hong Kong, we went into China. And the memory in my head was sailing down the Yangtze River for a week with Wendy now is looking very pregnant with two babies that the Chinese think are haunted because they've got blonde hair and blue eyes. We're in a cabin with 8 other Chinese, so we don't have our own cabin. Come on, guys, I want you to understand what we're talking about here. And all I remember is Wendy hanging up her cloth diapers. Does anybody know what a cloth diaper is? And then, right, she's pregnant with two babies in diapers, cloth ones. We go to Shanghai, we get back to Hong Kong, go to Hong Kong, to California. From California, we drive across to Virginia, from Virginia to here. That journey was 9 months long, and 8 months of it, Wendy was pregnant with two babies, under about two-ish and under, with cloth diapers. I just thought maybe babies do slow you down, but only, as he says, a bit. So I'm, again, not interested in excuses. Not interested. We've just got to begin to do this. Most of you would throw up if they put anchovies on your pizza, let alone if the flies were laying eggs on your little fish. Pastor Don, come share with us for a few minutes.
I one of the things that I'm just way too emotional. But you know, don't misunderstand the emotion. It's just a great time of my life. One of the things I learned about sacrifice is there's one, and Jesus made it. And you know, when you understand that, it will set you free. Because if you think about something that you need to do, something that you need to give up, you're stuck. You know, you'll think about how difficult it is, how hard it is, and it's not. But if you understand that Jesus Christ made the one sacrifice that's necessary, and listen, I understand theology. I've been a pastor for 37 years. And I've studied scriptures. And I know the scripture says, therefore, present yourself a living sacrifice. But let me tell you how you do that. Can I tell you how you do that? You were in Jesus Christ when he went on the cross. You understand that? You were in Jesus Christ when he went on the cross. How do you present yourself a living sacrifice? You say, God, I was in you. Jesus, I was in you when you went to the cross. I am the sacrifice. Jesus is the sacrifice. I am in him. Therefore, every sacrifice, listen, I don't make sacrifices. I don't have any sacrifices to give. And you know, this isn't just theology. I understand something. All those great theological words that Paul uses, all that deep theology that he uses, I say, why? Well, it's important. You know, I mean, theology is important because if you don't understand theology, you'll never be set free. You know, if you don't understand righteousness, you'll never be set free. If you don't understand sacrifice, you'll never be set free. You know, Jesus said this. The scripture says this about Jesus, that it said, through the joy set before him, he endured the cross. You know, that scripture is the, my church back home is Joy Community. That's the theme of our church, who through the joy set before him endured the cross. You know, and what's the key to that? The key to that is not look at the trial. The key to that is not look at the barrier. The key to that is not to look at the tribulation, the persecution. The key to that is, no, look on the other side. Look at what Jesus is calling us to. You know, we must see that. And Pastor Leon last night talked about vision. One of the things that's helped me is, in much of my life is to understand calling. And, I think what we struggle with oftentimes, is, you know, it's this thing, well, I make commitments, but then sometimes I don't keep them. And, you know, there's things that I want to do, but sometimes I don't get them done. I get distracted and whatever. But again, it's coming down to identity. And then it's coming down to this identity in Jesus Christ. There's something that we've been talking about this morning as the Eastlings and I got up this morning and talking and then at breakfast and then on the way here. The thing that we're talking about, this is a theme of our church. This is a theme of my life. And the theme is, it's not about you. You know, it just is not about you. And so, I've been called. I've been called, but you've been called. The very moment that you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, you're called. Because when Jesus Christ came into you, his passion came in, his purpose came in, his plan came in, his power came in. And then, you know, there's a freedom in that. And the freedom is this, you know, it's I am not my own. I've been bought with a price. You know, I mean, that's it. And so, you know, in life, we're just, we're in this wonderful place. People come up, a lady came up a couple nights ago and says, you know, I don't understand. I don't understand how you give up your house. How do you give up your car? How do you give up your family? And I'm going to say, it's easy. You know, it's been the most freeing thing I've done. I wish I would have done it 20 years ago. I wish I would have done it 25 years ago. And, you know, listen, there's so much truth in that. You know, because giving them up isn't giving them away. You know, I learned something years ago. The reason this is easy for me now is, listen, I've already given everything away. Years ago, I gave away my family. Years ago, I gave away my house. Years ago, I gave away my cars. And so when I come to this point, it's easy. You know, I gave them away already. And you know, it's just so important. And you know, you see, in the midst of that, then comes the passion. In the midst of that, then comes the power. Because, you know, I can tell you, I was in the United Methodist Church for 24 years. And, you know, listen, it was great. I got saved when I was in college, and was crazy man, just still am, but was crazy man, and just such a passion and in my heart, and so I got saved in the Christian church, and somehow ended up, well, because of Oral Roberts, ended up being a United Methodist, but. Years in the Methodist church, a spirit-filled Methodist church, and God just had such blessing and anointing in my life. But, I can tell you that it wasn't that long ago. I mean, I think it's 12 years ago I left the United Methodist Church. And, Pastor Leon talked about that a couple of last night or the night before. But, the truth of it was, I got out of stinking prison. You understand that? I mean, there's a lot of ways to look at this, what really happened was I overstayed my stay, and so what happened was the place that God called me because I didn't leave earlier when I should have. You see, I realized something, as United Methodist pastor, I was successful. I was in a large church. As a young man, successful in a large church and on my way to larger ones. But I was making a lot of money, and I had a lot of prestige. But what happened was, when it was time to go, I didn't go. And, I can tell you today, I'm still not clear on when I was supposed to go. I still don't know when I was supposed to go, but I know I missed it. And when you overstay your stay, you understand? When you overstay your stay, you're in the wrong place, in the wrong time. And that's just it. And so, when I came to this place, it was just so very obvious, I had to go. I had no choice. I had to go. So I know what it is to be in bondage to things. I know what it is to be in bondage to possessions. I know what it is to be in bondage to people. I know what it is to be in bondage to denominations. But I know what it is to be free. And, the thing that I want us to see today, what things I want to share with you today, I'm just so looking forward. I'm the happiest I've ever been. I'm the freest I've ever been. But, if you talked to me five days ago, I would have said I'm the happiest I've ever been, because I've learned to live that life. I don't care where I am. I mean, I honestly don't care where I am. I'm under the authority of Jesus Christ. I go where he tells me. And in the same way, listen, I understand something. I'm under the authority of Pastor Leon. Listen, I understand that. I'm under his authority. Do I trust in men? No, I trust in God. But because I trust in God, I trust in Pastor Leon. We don't understand this today. Most of us are just selfish pigs in control of our own life, and we've learned spiritual double talk, right? I'll pray about it. Stop praying and obey. Stop praying and be led. You can't go wrong. You can never go wrong. I'll never go wrong in submission to Jesus Christ. I'll never go wrong in submission to Pastor Leon or whoever God puts me under, And in the same way, then people can begin to come under me. You see that? Because I'm submitted, because my heart is submitted, then people can come under me. And I won't be trying to get them to do that. They'll want to, because they'll see something happening in me. Why is it that I want to be under Pastor Leon? I see something happening in him. The same thing that's happening in me. I identify it. I see that. And so, I just am at a great place in my life, and a place of such great freedom. Sheesh. It's terrible. I can't get up to preach without crying anymore. I'll get over this. I really will. But I mean, honestly, I'm not embarrassed. I don't care. But don't feel sorry for me, because I don't feel sorry for me. I like me. I enjoy me. I'm thrilled with me and what God is doing in me. You know, but I do want to share this quickly because I'm using more time than I should. You know, the thing that I've understood, again, it's not about you. It's about this God whose name is Jesus, who came to live in you. He's the one that brought his life. He's the one that brought his purpose. He's the one that brought his power. He's the one that's brought his passion. And, you know, the mistake that we make is that we forget who we are in Christ. And therefore, we forget the resources that are ours. And so, you know, we're looking for passion. You know, don't look for passion because you won't find it. The passion is within you. Do you hear that? The passion is within you. The power is within you because Christ is within you. He's not a liar. He said that he'd come to live in you. He said that he would live in you his life. He's living his life and his purpose within you. And so it's the most exciting thing. It's the most freeing thing. You know, my life is not about me. My life is about Jesus. My ministry is not about me. My ministry is about Jesus. And so, in that whole thing then, what I like isn't important. Neither is what you like important. You know, I mean, what you like for me, it's not important. The one thing that's important to me is, and the one thing that's mine, the one thing that he's constantly giving me, the one that he's constantly calling me to is Jesus. He said, listen, know who I am. Know who you are. Know what my life is because it's your life. Know what I'm doing because I'm doing it in you. And, you know, so it doesn't, I just so love Derek. I just so impressed with this guy and so blessed that I'm going to be spending several months with him in Saskatchewan, maybe years. We don't know what's going to happen. I just love it because there's just this freedom. It's not about you. Derek is such a great witness to that. And, but I'm different than Derek. And you're different than me. Here I am standing here. I'm 66 years old. And when everyone else is retiring, I'm starting a new ministry, a new life. And I'm good for the next 20. I've signed up for 20 years. God's just blessed me for this and prepared me for this. But, I don't trust in my experience. You know, I've been a pastor for 37 years. Some of them were good. No, honestly, every one of them was good. Some of them were hard, right? Some of them were hard, and I learned a lot of things the hard way. But, I don't trust in my experience. I put no trust in my experience. And people are nice to me. Pastor Leon is nice to me. He says, look at that. Here's a man of God. He's been a pastor for 37 years. And again, he loves me and respects me. He's been a pastor longer than I have. But I know that Dr. Leon, he doesn't trust in that. I don't trust in my experience. I don't trust in what I've done. I don't trust in where I've been. Because you can't. You can't trust in your experience. You can't trust in your knowledge. What worked yesterday won't work tomorrow. It won't. Because the only thing that works is Jesus. The only thing that works is hearing his voice. The only thing that works is knowing that he's faithful and knowing that he's true. Knowing that he's called you, knowing that he has a plan, knowing that he has a purpose, knowing that he has a passion, and that he'll bring it about. All we have to do is let go. Let go. The word is yielded. See, he looks at me because that sounded perfectly normal to him. Shaking his head. You know how many times I sat and Dr. Leon's teaching, he said, you got to be healed. I said, I've been healed. What does it mean, healed? Past tense. I've been healed. But we just say healed. No, he was saying, yield. You know, yeah, thank you. Yeah, he's saying, yield. But I love it, right? But see, that's the key. You know, there's only one thing that Jesus wants from you. It's just one thing that he wants from you. And that's that you just yield yourself. That you trust him to be everything that he said he is. Trust him to do everything that he said he would do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Trust him. Don't trust yourself. Trust him to be everything that he said he is. Trust him to do everything that he said he would do in you, in your life, because we're all the same in Christ. We're all one in him. Amen.
Now, I think we should probably just have one more before we take a break. Are we okay for that? Seventh inning stretch. You want to stand up or something? And sing, take me out to the ball game. Take me out. God. Stop. I don't care if I never get back. Remember, you confessed that before God. Sit down. Gotcha. Hallelujah. Don, Pastor Don. If you didn't all know, this is Pastor Don from our King's Fire.
Praise be to God. One of the interesting things which our brother Don was speaking here, which a lot of people don't understand, is authority. You know, godly authority, because the only thing that made me what I am today is submitting to authority. I didn't always understand what was going on, okay? Sometimes I didn't even like what was going on. But I knew one thing, like he said, if you don't submit to God first, you're not going to submit to anybody. You're not going to submit to your husband. You're not going to submit to your wife. You're not going to submit to any leader that God places inside of you, because Jesus said, if you receive the one that I send you, it's just like receiving me. It's just like receiving me. That's what he's saying. And that's what we don't understand, because we have been under bad authority. But you have to understand is that if you're going to do the things that God is calling us to do and do it with excellently, bring your A game, as he was saying, that you have to understand godly authority, the same way Jesus did, because there was no area in Jesus' life that was not submitted to the Father. There wasn't one area in his life, and you could go through the whole Bible of the Gospels with Jesus. He was totally submitted. And that's the point that we have to get to as a church. Stop listening to all that foolishness. Stop listening to all this nonsense. When I first came here, when they had the revival and everything, he'll tell you, I came to his house because I had left another place because of craziness, all right? And I came to his house and I said, Vaughn, you are now the authority in my life. And I haven't left since then. And he knows, he can pick the phone up, call me and say, Don, boom, Don this, boom, Don that. No questions asked. Okay, Vaughn, done. You know, and that's the point that we have to get to. You know, in the same way with Leon. The reason why I'm here, Leon's in town. He's never here. Okay? I could have found a million other excuses. I was in New York City last night. You know what I mean? Just got courted to, because I'm part of Christ Theological Seminary there down in Yonkers. Got courted into, you know, the Society of Fellows, which just makes me closer to, you know, other people. I could have made up all excuses. The man of God's in town. He ain't always come in town. He's the guy that speaks into our lives. He has authority over my life. He can pick the phone up and say, Don. You understand what I'm saying? Because Paul said, listen, he said, you'll have 10,000 instructors in this word, but you're only going to have few fathers. And that's what we have to understand, that we have been blessed with a great fathership as far as GMR, King's Fire, and everything. And look what God is doing. See, we got to open our eyes and look what God is doing. Look at the man and his wife. 37 years, boom, we're going to do it. That is authority, you know, because sometimes we don't see what God is doing because we're blinded by all this other stuff. And I just said that because when I heard him say it, the Lord just placed it upon my heart. Don't get caught up in all that stuff. All right? Listen to the authority which God has placed upon you. Because one of the things that happened to me, when I seen everybody else get all chewed up by the authority, I said, that ain't going to happen to me. What are we going to do? You know, I never had a, you know, praise God, I never had a problem with the authority I was under. Even times when I didn't understand, this is what I used to do. Pastor, could we talk? You know what I mean? Being a busy man, we'd set up a time, how much time you need, you know, half hour, hour, or whatever. And we go and talk about what he have said, procedure, or whatever, anything else that I didn't understand to get clarity. Because there's going to be a lot of stuff that you don't understand. But please be a man or woman enough to go to the man or woman of God and say, listen, can we talk about this? Okay? And they're going to explain to you the reasons why. And be willing, because they ain't got to tell you everything. All right? Because sometimes if they tell you everything, you're going to run with it and mess stuff up. That's why they don't tell you everything. Okay? But trust your godly leaders enough. All right? Trust them enough that they know what they're doing. All right? Especially Leon and Vaughn, and you're talking about 100 years of ministry. No, for real. Come on, we gotta think about this combined. You're talking about hundreds, 200s, 300 years of ministry. Mikey Petzer and all Philip Smethers and all these guys, and you're gonna trust what you know? No, no, no. We can't do that. All right? Because I'm a stickler for authority. I'm a stickler for being under authority. I'm a stickler for doing what is right and listening to these great men and women of God that speak into our lives. And I'm 57 years old, all right? I could pull rank. I was a pastor before I even got here. I was an ordained elder before I got. That means absolutely nothing. You understand that? It means absolutely nothing because I'm under the authority of this house. Vaughn, Josh, and all my other brothers, pastors, okay, that I work with. I'm not a cowboy trying to do my own thing, all right? You're never going to make it in ministry if you are going to try to do your own thing. Even with all your gifting, even with all your calling, God did not call you to do this by yourself. He called you to be in a place to learn, to be trained, and do exactly what God has called you to do. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Don. Just before I came up, I just Googled the verse I was going to speak on after the break was, you know, how can they hear unless they, how can they believe not they heard? How can they hear unless there's a preacher? How can there be a preacher unless he's sent? So, when Alice was a baby, we were living in Jerusalem. She wasn't 2 years old yet, as I already told you. I would stand her on top of the fridge. What is the fridge about? Nearly 6 foot high, aren't they, some fridges? And I'd just say, jump. And she'd go, whee, into my arms. And I guess she's been trusting her father ever since. Can you jump off the top of the fridge into your father's arms? That's what you need to learn. That's what you need to learn. Some of you didn't have good fathers. Some of you had good fathers. Your good father was nowhere near as good as my father in heaven. So I trust him. When my God says jump, there's no log in the water. Brother Francisco, I will not call you by that other nickname. Did nickname come from old Nick?
Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. And I wanna talking a little bit about sacrifice. When you sacrifice yourself, it's when the door of miracle opens for you in your life. It's when you're gonna see miracles happen. I can tell you right now we are working real hard to open the new building, the new church. So I was like, God, I really want to go. I really want to, you know, be in that conference. You know, my body's here, but my heart is over there. And I never been in this part. This is my first time. So can you imagine a Spanish guy, taking a play to La Guardia. And I'd never been in the airport before. And, you know, like I said, we're in a construction. So I was like, you know, and that kind of plan to save some money to put in the building. So I was like, okay, God. So I opened my luggage. I put my tent. I put, you know, food, everything prepared. You know, I was going to expect to sleeping outside. So when I opened that gate and I feel that cold weather, I was like, God, this is frozen right here. What happened? And can you imagine? I want to explain this to you guys. Yellow cap everywhere. I never see too many. And I was in this corner, you know, waiting for my chair to come to get my rental car. And I was like praying to God. I was like, God, I sacrificed myself to come to this conference. And I wanted you to walk with me every state. So I get my rental car and I see, you know, God's moving already. And, you know, everything, it was, you know, it was okay. So, but I don't know, from La Guardia to here was like 2 hours. So that's a long drive. So when I get out, you know, I never see a bridge so big like that one. The one in Manhattan, right? That's the one, the big one. It's in Manhattan or where's in Jersey? Yeah, the George Washington. Manhattan. So I was like, and I was with that rush, and I forgot to take some cash from the ATM, and I was driving, and I see that, you know, sign. I was like, oh, I need to go from, you know, from that bridge, so I need to pay. So I completely forgot to take some money out. So I opened my wallet, and it was exactly $8. So I paid, and it was a guy coming from Florida to tell me, hey, Pastor, you know what? We, you know, buying this chair, we're buying everything. And I was like, in that point, I need to listen to GPS, but I need to listen to you too. You know, I'm in Jersey right now, and I want to get out from this city because I need to go to, you know, to this big conference. And I was driving in the mountain, like, you know, I feel I was in Puerto Rico, you know, driving here and there. So I was like, and it was raining too. And it was dark, so I was like, oh my God, I think I'm close. I think, you know, and the GPS, thanks God for GPS. Take me to that parking lot. But something big happened to my life when I opened that door. When I opened that door, my life completely changed. You know, when I spend this quality time with you guys, you know, and I'm sorry by my accent, it's a strong accent. My life completely changed, you know, because when you're talking about mission, it's when you need to get up for your comfortable side, for everything you got. Everything. When I'm talking everything, I can talk about sacrifice. I can talk when you go to the machine and you see the numbers, red line, numbers, red line, and some numbers. And God supply for everything you need. You know, and sometimes you feel like, I want to do it, but I don't know how. Trust God. He's going to be with you every place you go. When I get up from here that night, I was like, God, I don't got any place to sleep. Now, what am I going to do? Because I was thinking, you know, put my tent and I'm going to be, you know, nice, everything cool. But with that frozen weather, you know, I'm going to be dying. I'm going to be frozen like this, you know. When someone, you know, it's a Spanish guy outside frozen like this, no move. How's the conference? Praise God. And I get out, you know. But it's when you're walking in faith, everything is going to be in your side, no matter what. It's when you start walking in faith. It's when you know what, you close your eyes and see God. You know, in that moment when you close your eyes and say, God, you know what, I'm here. And I want to do what you call me to do. So, and I get out and I was like, well, God, I need to find a place to sleep. And I was like, I remember the gas station, I can park in there, you know, the next go in the morning and see, hey, you know, any hotel. But, you know, I found a perfect place to stay. And it was in my budget. So when I was in my bed and I was looking at the roof, I said, God, thank you. Thank you, because when you're obedient to God, God is going to supply for every need. Every need. And when we're talking about mission, you know, my heart is there. I was in Cuba a few months ago, and I can tell you, you know, you say, Cuba? No, I don't want to go there. You know, that's Fidel land. You know, all the rules and everything, you know, is completely different what I see here. And I was like, you know, when I take that plane, you know, I get out, it's completely different. You know, see, you know, like yellow cab, where you can see too many bicycles outside. You can see hoes, you can see honkies outside. And you open that gate and you see that. And you see these humble people hungry for God. When people know you are man of God or woman of God, let me tell you something, you need to prepare yourself. Because people start going to walk in hours to see you. Hours to get that word from God. You know, and some point you think, I don't want to do it. You know, I feel good here in U.S. I feel so good. You know, I got the remote. I can change my channel. I can go, you know, put my temperature down because it's chilling inside. Or how about when you know, you're driving your new car, you know, nice leather inside. You can feel the leather. And when you open that gate, you only see bicycle. And you start sweating like crazy. Sweating in that temperature is like 100 degrees. But you can see how God moves in this little island. When you see people walking and say, you know what? You know the clothes I got right now? Someone give me to me so I can come here. Because I got a cancer and the guy he showed me like this big. And I need prayer. Because the hospital told me, you know what? I'm going to die in a few weeks. When you see that kind of stuff outside, and you think and you say, well, God, here I am. Do what you need to do with me. And you see this old truck, like 1960, with 100 people inside singing. I'm talking few miles away. And you hear, you know, these people singing worship God with babies and everything. And let me tell you, I don't know how these people breathe. Because it's like this, like a little salchicha. Like this. We worship you. And let me tell you, when all that stuff happened, these people don't want to go away. You know why? Because you see how God moving. You see how God do miracles. So I can tell you today, when you believe in God, everything is possible. Everything. I'm talking everything. And sometimes, you know, you think, you know, but God, I'm like this, small, I'm a little. But in God's eyes, you are big. And when you start walking in faith, everything is going to happen. Everything, all the miracles you're going to see. And let me tell you something. Right now, you guys got a Spanish guy. This is the first time I'm speaking English. Front to a big congregation. So you can see how God moved. You can see how God moved because it's so easy for me, you know, start, you know, speak Spanish to a big congregation, a small congregation, you know. All Latinos in the house, you know, it's so easy. You go with the flow. But that's when God moved from your comfortable side and put you in that place. But when you're obedient to God and you walk in that obedience, God is going to move in your life. God is going to go in your life. God bless you.
How about the egg party last night, brother? Huh? The amount of comments we got on last night's 10:30 egg party downstairs. And who was in on it? Yeah. So it all started because when he wanted to know, will Dr. Leon be hungry and get some eggs in case he wants an omelette and all that? And then, but I was there first, so you want an egg hunt? So she cooked me a couple of eggs, and then somebody else smelled the eggs, and so they got in there. And, you know, and after she's cooked a couple of dozen eggs, we're just sitting in the kitchen. This is our life. This is what King's Fire is like. This is what the family's like. And I want to say this quickly because the last conference we had, or that I organized 2 or 3 years ago, was called Co-Labors Conference. And I didn't organize it. Beth organized it. But and all our other admin people. And what happened was 13 of my friends came, all preachers. And the one I knew the least time was 16 years. So the congregation suddenly went, oh, I get it. Vaughn's known these guys for 16, 20, 25, 28 years. And you see, we don't have time to build a 25-year relationship. But we know how to jump into strong relationships. And we know how to let you in. But it's all to do with attitude, nothing else. It's all about attitude. If you can see that, recognize it, like Pastor Don says, you know, we got a few big dogs in our and experience and some gray hair, but you're welcome. You're welcome. God made you accepted in the beloved. And that's why I want to keep encouraging you that we know what we're doing, we know where we're going, we love young people, man. We love young people. Got lots of confidence in young people. Let's take a break for 15 minutes. Appreciate everybody. Please keep communicating with people you haven't had. I still think the Kansas folks are still talking to each other too much. So if you see that happen, just interject. So 15 minutes, come and join us for a cup of coffee and...